Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at AloraModernWellness.com.
The home team, Greg Medea, covers the Virginia Cavaliers for the Daily Progress up there in Charlottesville. And Greg, we started getting word really early in the search process for Mississippi State that Brian O'Connor was going to be a real candidate for the Bulldogs in this search. When did it start making its way up there? And when did you learn that Brian O'Connor was going to be one of the top targets for this Mississippi State search?
Yeah, it's interesting. Thanks for having me on, Brian. Yeah, I think you go back to really the early part of May, right? Word started to kind of circulate nationally that Brian O'Connor would be a target of Mississippi State. At the time, I even wrote a story after talking with Brian O'Connor about the idea. And at the time, he kind of shot it down and said, you know, he was really excited about Virginia baseball's future. That he thought the proper support and resources were going to be elite, and that Virginia could compete to kind of keep doing what they're doing on the national level. And continue, you know, going to Omaha and doing all the things his program has done in recent years, right? They won a national title in 2015. They've been to Omaha in three of the previous four seasons, before this year, and this past season that just finished for them. At that time you thought, you know, maybe this got a little blown out of proportion, nationally. But then, from talking to some sources, around Virginia, really last week is when it heated up again. And from the Virginia perspective, the thought was, well, he had time to sit down and hear Mississippi State out. And I think you guys can probably articulate the situation down there better than I can. It seems like it's a school that's willing to pour all of its resources or a large chunk of its resources into baseball, which you know, I don't know how many other schools out there are willing to do what Mississippi State's doing, at least resource-wise, for its baseball program.
You know, O'Connor, his name came up quite a bit in the LSU search when they hired Jay Johnson. Yeah. It came up a good bit last year in the Texas A&M search. Was this just a situation where State's offer was too good to pass up, or was O'Connor just really ready to maybe try another challenge?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. And he's turned down other jobs before or bypassed opportunities to pursue it. You mentioned those two jobs, Auburn in the past, Florida in the past, LSU, of course, that's kind of the most high profile. Texas too, and A&M last year, of course. I think, you know, he's always stayed at Virginia though. You always thought, you know, he was going to entertain something to parlay it into something else for his baseball program at UVA. And I think this time around, with them not being in the postseason, he had time to sit down and really evaluate. And I think, too, it'd be naive not to say that what happened on Selection Monday had anything to do with it, right? I mean, the SEC got 13 teams in, including Kentucky, which was 13-17 in the SEC, and Mississippi State, which was 500 in the league. And Virginia finishes five games over 500 in the ACC, and all of a sudden that's not good enough. I think they're the first team in a very, very long time to be plus 500 and to not get in the NCAA tournament. I think in O'Connor's tenure at Virginia, 22 years, I think only seven ACC teams that finished above 500 were left out of the NCAA postseason. That's above 500 in the ACC. And I think during that same time span, 127 plus 500 ACC teams in the conference made the NCAA. So to me, maybe the growing disparity in the conferences had something to do with it, at least in the eyes of the committee. I know what's happening in the national postseason now, right? The ACC has shown itself pretty well. But based on how the selection process worked this year, maybe growing disparity had something to do with it too.
What kind of coach, in your opinion, is Brian O'Connor? How high up the scale would you rank him among active college baseball coaches?
He's excellent. I mean, all the accomplishments are for good reason. He builds relationships with his players. His players love him. It speaks so highly too. I spoke with a bunch of former UVA players over the last few days, and Sean Doolittle, former pitcher for the Washington Nationals. He's now there. Pitching coordinator, and he was telling me, you know, even though it stinks for Virginia to lose O'Connor, he'll still be rooting for Brian because of everything he did, not only for himself, but for the program and how he built UVA and kept relationships with his players throughout the years, guys that had gone on to the big leagues, guys that had, you know, nothing to do with baseball after leaving Virginia and just went in the working world. There's a lot of that, and the discipline, Jake McCarthy, who's been with the Arizona Diamondbacks, an outfielder, he talked to me a little bit about, you know, just the professionalism he learned in Virginia's program has taken him very far and allowed him to reach the big leagues because he knew how to act like a big leaguer. So you're going to get a program that's disciplined, that's not going to make mistakes. They're going to be, you know, in the last few years, Virginia, they've had some really good home run hitting teams. He knows how to recruit talent. It'll be interesting to see, you know, where he pulls the talent from. At Virginia, it was from, you know, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, of course, the Commonwealth of Virginia itself, you know, with the occasional dip down into Florida or, you know, one of the hotbed states for baseball talent. It'll be interesting to see what he does recruiting-wise at Mississippi State, but he knows how to work the NIL angle and knows how to work the transfer portal. One of Virginia's best players the last few years was Jacob Ferentz, a Division III transfer from Salisbury in Maryland, who O'Connor and his staff found, liked, was probably the only, you know, power program to offer Ferentz, and he turned out to be, you know, their everyday starting catcher the last 2 years. Good player after they had to replace Kyle Teal, who's now in the White Sox system. So you're getting a very, very accomplished coach who understands the landscape, knows how to get to Omaha. It's pretty much everything you'd want in a head coach.
And, of course, you're seeing a lot of Virginia players are hitting the transfer portal. A lot of them have the do not contact tag, which is going to, you know, make people immediately think they're going to follow their head coach to Starkville. Who are the players that are in the transfer portal right this second that Mississippi State fans might be looking at in maroon and white a season from now?
Yeah, I think Tomas Delinkis, left-handed pitcher, freshman, excellent stuff. He's out of the Baylor School in Tennessee. Same program that produced Henry Ford and Henry Godbout, who played at Virginia, was on the team this past season as well. Godbout's a junior, so he's going to the draft. Ford has a decision to make, even though he's in the portal. But Valinkis, after a great freshman year, when O'Connor decided to put Valinkis in the starting rotation to begin the year, he told me, you know, he's about as good of a freshman as you're going to get to college baseball. You know, in terms of a guy who decides, you know, not to go to the draft, his stuff is that good. And I've heard other college coaches tell me that, you know, he's probably a first round pick in a couple of years. He's the name to watch. Eric Becker, who played shortstop for Virginia this year, Mississippi State fans might remember him, from the Charlottesville Regional last year. Excellent hitter. He could play third base, could play second base too, depending on, you know, what else O'Connor decides to do with the roster. But played shortstop for Virginia this past year. I think those two are the ones to watch. There are other guys in there that are really good players, but I think, you know, some of those players could be using the portal as leverage for the draft, as I mentioned. You know, Henry Ford, Aiden Teal, those guys are draft eligible. Same thing with Evan Blanco. But the main two, I would say, Valinkis and Becker, and maybe James Nunnally, too, who's coming off a decent freshman season at UVA.
So what happens next for Virginia at this point? Like we mentioned, you know, you're losing O'Connor. Most of his staff is coming with him to Starkville. A ton of players in the portal. What's Virginia baseball look like going forward?
It's a great question. I've been told that, you know, that they'll still have, you know, considerably strong resources, right? there was a late donor push to try to keep O'Connor in place that, you know, that would have seen an uptick in resources and financial backing. I'm told, you know, some of that money was contingent on O'Connor staying. So who knows if that money ends up staying in place. But I think they'll be able to attract a really good coach, someone that views the job as a step up probably from where they're at, or, you know, even within the ACC or another power conference, Virginia probably still has some superior resources and dedication to baseball, not to Mississippi State's level, of course, from what everybody learned over the last couple of weeks. But I think they'll be able to attract a very good candidate, and they'll need someone who can work the portal, because they're going to have to retool the roster on the fly unless they want to undergo a total rebuild. Some names that I've heard to this point, Chris Pollard at Duke could be an option. Mike Glavin, who's the coach at Northeastern and has won a lot there. Mississippi State just played that team, yeah, in a Tallahassee regional. He's done a good job in the Northeast, and you know, he has some players from areas that Brian O'Connor's had success recruiting before. So I think he could be an option. Cliff Godwin at East Carolina, his name, you know, comes up, I feel like, for every big job. And he's a really good baseball coach, and, yeah, and that's someone who could be in the mix. And then there are some other names too floated out there, but you know, one name I've heard more often than not is Chris Pollard from Duke, but maybe that's dependent on how far Duke goes in this postseason.
We shall see. Greg, really appreciate your time today, man. Great information, and we'll talk to you down the line.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.